Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes. All right. I have an update
National Duran Duran Appreciation Day.
On the John Mason, Steve Ireland story. Did you hear about this, Michael?
John Mason, Steve Ireland.
So yesterday in the LA Times, they wrote an article about Bob Miller and his relationship to Vin Scully and how much they respected and rooted for each other. And Helene Elliott, the Hall of Fame writer.
Close personal friend.
Well, I've known Helene for 20 years. And we always say hi to each other. And in the story, she wrote, years ago, when the Kings won the Stanley Cup, Bob Miller and his wife Judy went in studio with John Mason and Steve Ireland, and Vin called in to congratulate him. And I'm like, what in the world? I go, Helene has said hi to me for years.
She say the right name?
She says, hi, John.
She says, hi, John.
So she
thinks your last name is Mason.
She thinks my name is John Mason. I'm also friends with Helene's husband. Yeah. Dennis DiAgostino, who is the historian for the Knicks. He lives in L.A., but he worked for the Knicks for years. If you ever have a Knicks question, you go to him. So I get this random text last night, 6 o'clock. First of all, it's been fixed online and will be corrected when it's in the paper this week. And I write back, we had a lot of fun with that today. And he said, second of all, the desk made the screw up. Helene, and this makes total sense.
Okay.
Helene originally submitted Mason and Ireland, and some copy editor at the desk put the first names in.
There you go.
Michael, you appreciate this. Now to a more important matter. How much better will Isaiah Hartenstein make the Knicks?
Wow. I like that. By the way, John Mason. I like that name. John Mason.
There was a character.
James Mason.
A character in a movie named John Mason, but I'm trying to remember who it was. Somebody else.
That's a good strong name.
Sounds much more manly than John Ireland, doesn't it?
John Ireland was one of Hollywood's big guns.
In more ways than one?
Yes. Well, he was famous for his, same thing Milton Berle was famous for.
For the 12-inch pianist?
Pianist, exactly.
All right, so
now Shams, we just played.
Right, after we just blew up the idea of insiders know everything and they're always right and all that stuff, let's go to Shams with an update on Kyrie Irving and what the plan is right now.
The back surgery, Kyrie Irving, he'll remain at the Nets?
So, I mean, right now, Kyrie, he opted into his contract. He's committed to the Nets, and from everything I've been told, he's been doing everything behind the scenes. When you think about leadership, when you think he's worked out, he's worked out with teammates, this offseason, continuing to have those conversations with Sean Marks, Steve Nash. From his side, he's entering the last year of his deal. There's not really much of a place for him to really rock the boat. I think what you're going to see from Kyrie Irving is just a level of high professionalism, and I think that's what he's shown since he's opted in. Now, the other side is this. Him and Kevin Durant are very close. This is something that everyone knows. And I think at the end of the day, whatever Kevin Durant wants to do, go through with the trade requests, have feelings this way or that way, he's going to always support Kevin Durant as a friend and his happiness. But as far as, where this leaves him in the Nets, I think whether Kevin Durant is traded or not, I think, Kyrie Irving has an opportunity to still be a Net. And I think the likelihood is still that right now the plan is for him to stay a Net going into training camp in the season. Right. These things can always change, but I don't believe, as this stands right now, if Kevin Durant's traded, it's a foregone conclusion that Kyrie Irving's traded. I think that it's really going to be about how these conversations keep going.
So he says even if Durant gets traded, it doesn't mean Kyrie would get moved. But but it goes against what Sean Marks said at the end of the season. Okay. Sean Mark had a press conference.
General manager for the Nets.
Yeah, and he said, we want people that want to be here. We want accountability. We want dependability. We want people who are going to show up. And that was all code for Kyrie not getting vaccinated screwed us. He wasn't available. He was never here. And so if Kyrie's still unvaccinated and that limits his ability to come to practice or play in the games, I think that would figure into all of this.
Well, the only games he'll miss now are the Toronto games. He's free to play everywhere else.
Right.
Right, just Toronto.
And Kyrie,
yeah.
I mean, I think they will still eventually trade him, but you don't have to worry about his effort this year, Mace, because he is on, basically, he's auditioning. He's doing a job interview
for other teams.
Oh, that's
a good point.
This is his last year of his contract. He's 31, I believe, and his game is going to transition well as he ages because he plays on the ground. So he wants a four-year deal, maybe a five-year deal for like $200 million. So he has to ball out all-star style this year to get that long-term deal.
I'm not big on the Lakers getting Kyrie. I mean,
Well, they may not get him.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, when I hear the other names that are floating around, I feel like some of those other names would
like
be...
Like who? Who's floating around?
Oh, Eric Gordon, Buddy Hield. A
couple of Bahamians, Michael.
Oh, I love them. Don't get me wrong.
Pat Beverly.
But Kyrie's a transcendent...
Jordan Clarkson coming back. There are like a bunch of names that are floating around out there that are possibles. Miles Turner.
Yeah, good players. All good players. But Kyrie's like a transcendent... How do you say that?
I know, but here's...
Transcendent.
So here's what I say. That I can imagine the moment. Everybody says, get Kyrie now. Now, there's going to come a point in the middle of the season where everybody says, damn, why did we get
no!
Kyrie? Why did we? Did we do this?
He has to be on his best behavior this year, and he's got to show everybody he's still that all-NBA-type player because he's like I say, job interviewing for next year.
And I think that if he had an opportunity to play with LeBron and AD, that he would wake up.
Yeah, and that would put the Lakers, now they're not going to be better than the Warriors, but that would put them right up there the rest of the Western Conference if they could get a player like him.
So, yeah, a lot of ifs.
A guy named Mark Pratt. Because I like to let the Twitter world into the show a little bit. He sent a very detailed trade proposal.
All right, Mark, let's hear it.
Okay. Lakers trade Russell Westbrook, THT, Kendrick Nunn, 2026 draft swap option, 2027 first-round pick, 2029 first-round pick to Brooklyn for Kyrie, Seth Curry, and Joe Harris. Total salary, $62.55 million to Brooklyn, $64 million to the Lakers. Does work in the trade machine.
Why would Brooklyn do it?
They get a lot of picks.
Get a lot of picks, yeah, a lot of first-round picks. That
they got a young player in Tucker.
Tucker.
And Nunn's
Westbrook and expiring.
Yeah, Nunn's a good player. But I tell you, that would be a great trade for the Lakers.
I'm glad you brought this up.
This is Mark Pratt.
Yeah. Mark, thank you for sending that in. Here's the thing. What Michael just said is 100% true. It would be a great trade for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. But the Lakers are only it takes two to tango. The other team has the asset that you want. They control this.
Well, like you get salary cap relief. They get a good young player in Tucker. And they get a bunch of first-round picks for the future.
And what's been reported... And again, this goes back to Mace, the point you made about who's telling the truth and who isn't. But what's been reported is that the Nets have no interest in Russ. So you'd have to get a third team to take Russ in order for that whole thing to work.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody has although I came across an interesting nugget today. You guys can react to this. There was an article in The Athletic. I'm pretty sure The Athletic. No, it's Kurt Hyland from Yahoo Sports.
Okay.
He says... first-year head coach Darvin Ham will implement and stick with an offense run through Anthony Davis.
Good.
LeBron James has concurred. The team has been encouraged with Davis's off-season progression and believe he'll be in optimum shape to avoid serious injuries and carry a heavier load. The team is also, get this, hopeful for a corner three shooting percentage bump from Russell Westbrook next season.
Well, let me address the first part of this, because if you've ever listened to Michael and I do a game, well, Michael beats this drum, and I don't understand why they don't listen to you. Get Anthony Davis's butt in the post and give him the ball.
Yeah.
He's unguardable. His back-to-the-basket game is insane. We did a game last year in Philadelphia, and Anthony Davis was healthy. Go look up the stats of this game in Philadelphia last year. Lakers at Sixers.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid, having an MVP season, comes out against Anthony Davis and could not check him, could not stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid, who is an elite defensive player.
Yep.
Michael, you've said Joel Embiid might be the most skilled big man ever to play the game.
Yep.
And AD, not only was he not scared of him, do you remember how he just took him to school?
Oh, yeah.
And we looked at each other and went, what in the world is stopping the Lakers from doing this every single game?
And Anthony Davis stopping himself from doing it.
Right. And Michael said, Ireland, go do it next time down the court.
Yeah.
And for one night, they did.
Yeah.
They kept giving the ball to Anthony Davis and saying, hey, make them stop you. And they weren't used to sending help for Joel Embiid because Joel Embiid's so good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And Davis just torched him.
Yeah.
That's where that came from, where this story you just
read
from.
Right.
Darvin Ham probably looked at that game tape and went, we're going to make the defense adjust to Anthony Davis. And by the way, the second you double AD, LeBron will kill you.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so I hope that report is right.
So LeBron or Anthony Davis had 31 points, 12 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 4 blocks.
What did Embiid have?
Embiid had a bad game. Davis killed him on defense.
I remember this game. Yeah, he had 26 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal.
But didn't he shoot like 50
blocks.
Times to get those 26?
9 of 20.
There you go.
And what was AD from the field, 14
Greg? Of 21.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, why this is something Michael's really good at bringing out. If something's working like that, why do you go away from it?
Yeah.
Right.
Why? I mean, make Anthony Davis is that good. When he's, Michael, I think people forget because AD's been so
injured.
Unavailable. Yeah. And Charles Barkley nicknamed him street clothes and all that stuff. If he's right, Mace, if he's 100% healthy, I'm not kidding. He might be the best big man in the whole NBA. He might be better than Jokic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He has. And, well, overall, he is because he can play defense.
And Jokic is an unbelievable player.
Oh, yeah. Best passer in the game. Best big man passer ever.
Michael and I have done at least 6 games in Denver where Jokic has wanted absolutely nothing to do with AD.
Yeah.
AD will get around him and block his shots, and if Jokic tries that crazy back to the basket, back him in, turn around, and AD won't move.
Yeah.
We'll just stand, and he's got those long arms.
Quick feet to deal with him.
And here's the thing that people forget about Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, his sophomore year in high school, Mace, was 6'1".
Wow.
He grew 9 inches between his sophomore and senior year of high school. He was on a terrible high school team in Chicago. And John Calipari came and watched him play and went, oh, my gosh, that kid doesn't know. He has the skills of a guard.
Yeah. Right.
And by the time he got to Kentucky, you had a guy with guard skills who was 6'10". His 1 year at Kentucky, they won the national championship. Then he became the number one pick in the whole draft.
Yeah.
He is so underrated. And people, I understand that part of your legacy is your availability. Michael, that's what made Kareem so great, Kareem was always available. But he's played more games. Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George all got here in the same year.
Right.
Anthony Davis has played more games than either one of the other two. They just play for the Clippers, so no one cares.
Right.
No one's calling Kawhi street clothes because no one watches the Clipper games.
Right.
Anthony Davis is under a microscope, but if he's healthy and if he's right, that story you read at the start of this segment is incredibly encouraging.
Well,
that they're going to run. LeBron's going to give the ball to AD
and let the offense
and
run
say,
through him.
All right, if you don't double him, he's going to score 50. And the second you double him, I'm going to kill you.
I hate when people exaggerate and say no one watches the Clippers games because that's not entirely true, Ireland.
No, there's about 20,000
people. Yeah, 20,000 people watch. in an area of 10 million. 20,000 watch.
Yeah.
Chuck the
Duck. The ratings actually go down because all their fans are in the arena.
Yeah.
Hey, we love you, Clippers.
No, we don't. All right, I want to tackle the second part of that, the Westbrook piece of that. Plus, Brad Pitt has got a blank list. People he just refuses to work with ever again because they've been difficult.
Really?
Yes.
I would. You and I should make a blank list.
We should
are
do a blank list.
Are you going to give us, like, are these famous people?
He did not. Well, I'll tell you next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The thing I love about that clip
I'm
is
sticking
in the
with the million, man.
Say,
I'm sticking
pick,
with a million.
Dummy. I'll go.
That's
a million.
My answer, and I'm sticking to it.
I chose it. I'm sticking with it.
All right, so let me tackle the other part of this. Michael Thompson's hanging out today, and we're doing a little Lakers here. So, Russell Westbrook. We talked about the offense. There's a little Durant for you.
Yeah.
Duran Duran Appreciation Day. So LeBron, Rich Paul sat down, according to Yahoo Sports' Chris Haynes. One of the things they talked about, and we talked about, the offense running through Anthony Davis. The other thing they said is the team is hopeful for a corner three shooting percentage bump from Russell Westbrook next season. Here's what's interesting about that. Russell Westbrook shot 51 corner threes last year. Made 23 of them. He shot 45% from three from the corners. 5 for 15 from the right corner. 18 for 36. 50% from the left corner. But will Russell Westbrook accept that as a role, being the guy that hangs out in the corner waiting for the ball?
Yes. You convince him. Listen, I'm the coach. I'm Darvin Ham. Matter of fact.
Why couldn't Frank do it?
Frank's a nice guy. You can't be this. You can't be nice. You can't be diplomatic in this situation. You're thinking about the team. Russell Westbrook, you're still a good player. You're still an all-star level player, but we need you to come off the bench and be the playmaker when LeBron sits down. When LeBron sits out to the six-minute mark, that's when you come in and you run the show. Because when you and LeBron on the floor, unless you just want to go stand on the weak side mm-hmm. and let the ball come to you, but if you want to be more active with the ball, more interactive, then you run the show when LeBron sits out. LeBron's not going to play 35 minutes a game. He's probably going to play 28, Russ. You're going to have the ball in your hands a lot, but we need you to come off the bench. Other great players, and then later in their careers, have made this adjustment. That doesn't mean you're not the backup quarterback. That doesn't mean you're going to stand up, sit over there all game long, just hold the clipboard. You are going to be in there in prime time minutes, but we need you to be this player for us coming off the bench.
And Mace, you asked the question, why would Russ do it?
Yeah, why would Russ do it?
Because he has to. If he refuses to go along with Darvin Ham, can't blow this. This is his opportunity to be a head coach.
Absolutely.
And if Russ ignores him like he ignored Frank, and doesn't do what Darvin's asking him to do, he could get John Walled. Yep.
But is this not why Russell Westbrook has been in four teams? In
right.
What it'll
but
be
this,
six do, years.
Doesn't
now.
This feel like if he blows this? If he doesn't do what the coaching staff asks now, he's no longer in control of his own career. He becomes...
Well, he left Oklahoma City to go to Houston, right?
Yep.
Because
yep.
they wanted to send him to a playoff thing. Oklahoma
yep.
City's run was over.
Yep.
So they were nice to him. Presti was nice to him.
And they put him back together with Harden.
Harden. And him and Harden were boys. Then he left Houston to go to Washington because they made the switch for John Wall, thinking
right.
both teams needed a switch. So it wasn't like he was, you know, like burning down locker rooms in Houston and Washington. And Washington, him and Beal got along fine.
And
he was there.
And
why
what
was
I
going?
What I would
then
say
why'd
is
they move him
okay
to get Kuzma and all these other young guys.
Well, because Russ wanted to come play with LeBron and AD to make a super team. But play this out to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, and keep in mind, I'm Russ's biggest fan. I think that Russ is as unique of a player as ever been in the NBA.
He's a competitor, man.
And he plays harder than everybody else. He's just a pleasure to watch. But if Russ doesn't do what they're asking him to do, what happens then?
Yeah, you could get John Wall. You could get benched.
The reason he's going to go along with this is because he has to.
Yeah, he's out of options.
He doesn't want to be out of the league.
Right.
And he doesn't want to, I mean, Mace, he's on an expiring contract.
Right.
He's only 33, and he's always in shape. He could play another 3 years.
Yeah, he's a freakish athlete.
Yeah.
And that's encouraging, though, what you said. 45% from the corner is really good.
Yeah.
What I've said all along, and keep in mind, I'm like a Westbrook advocate. I've said, you don't need to shoot threes on this team. You don't need to shoot that bank shot from the side of the backboard. You don't need to attack when you have LeBron and AD on the court every time. You need to pick your spots. And I think that they're going to challenge him to try and be on the all-defense team this year. He's got the athleticism. It's just a matter of committing to it. And maybe he will. Maybe he will. I hope so. I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, Darvin Ham will convince him. Ham's a... He's
convincing?
He's a man. He's a man's man. He'll convince him.
All right. Let me talk about Brad Pitt here for a second.
Yeah.
So
who does he hate?
Okay. So this is one of his co-stars in Bullet Train, which is his movie that's out right now.
Looks stupid.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Doesn't look stupid, Jorge. We're running out of ideas.
I think it actually looks okay.
You would.
No, I thought you said you heard it was bad.
I heard it was bad, but it doesn't look terrible.
Okay.
Like the other day, I'm
not rushing out to see it, but I don't think it's a disaster.
I was watching the last James Bond movie, No Time to Die. I quit halfway through.
You missed the big ending.
Yeah, just
it's a big ending. Big ending. All right, here's what Aaron Taylor Johnson said about Brad Pitt. He said he just wants to bring light and joy into the world and be around people who are there to have a good time. You work with many actors, and after a while, you start making notes. I am definitely not working with this person ever again. Mm-hmm. Brad has this list, too, the good list and the blank list.
Well, who's on the good list? Or the bad list?
Did not list anybody.
Then why would he put it? What's the point?
The point is, if they stuck somebody in here who I didn't have fun with, John, if they stuck...
I want to hear who he doesn't want to work with.
That's not there. You know, I can read the article all day.
You know who I would refuse to work with because he's just intolerable?
Who?
Pepe Mantilla.
Pepe Mantilla.
Well, he's in Mexico City.
Wait, so he's not coming on today?
No, he's coming on. He says, I hope the phones work. That's what he told me.
By the way, in case you couldn't tell, Pepe is the nicest man ever.
Oh, I'm totally kidding. He's so great. But I do agree with this sentiment. So let's say Jorge left. This is a terrible idea.
Soon.
And they stuck somebody in there who we don't like.
Like who? Dave Singer?
Sure. Let's go Dave Singer. They stuck somebody in there we don't like.
Okay.
John, would you stay? If we're not really having, because I wish you guys could see the show some days, because we're all constantly looking at each other, looks, button pressing, all that kind of stuff. Like, this is a really fun team. If they stuck somebody in there who was a loaf, I would have a hard time sticking around.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's always an option. You can always walk away.
John's more tolerable of people's shortcomings than you are. It depends on the person.
Why'd you say that?
Yeah, it depends. It depends what their shortcomings are.
You're high maintenance.
I'm not high maintenance.
Well, but you're never here, so you would just take a vacation until you
get
back.
Yes, absolutely.
You would just take more days off.
As many as I can. As many as I can.
You look like the kind of guy who doesn't suffer fools, where Ireland's more tolerable. You remind me more of Pat Riley.
Well, John obviously suffers fools because of who he works with. He's obviously capable of that. I like fools. I think fools are awesome, so I suffer fools just fine. If it ever got to be not fun, and I understand what Brad Pitt's saying. He's like, I don't want to work with jackasses.
Yeah, makes sense.
I don't want to work with jerks.
He's got the power to do that.
Yeah.
Where if you're like an up-and-coming actor, actress, then you got no power. You got to work with whoever.
Yeah. All right. Let me get this in here. So there is a betting trend. You know, we always have over-under numbers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. There is an over-under for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that is getting bet like crazy. It is over or under 11.5 wins. Over or under 11.5 wins. Which side do you think is getting hammered right now? Where's all the money going?
I think Tampa Bay is going to win 12 games. It's right on the... But if I had to bet it...
Well, Rob Gronkowski retired. That's huge.
17 games this year.
17 games, so they would win. They need to go 12-5.
I think people are betting the under.
Yeah, because Gronk retired, so I think they're going to be as good.
I would bet the under in this. I mean, the league is tough.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think. Yeah. You know, Tampa Bay's great, and they'll be in the, as Les Snead always says, the tournament. They'll be in the tournament at the end of the day. But I don't see them winning 12 games.
Plus, doesn't Brady have to get old one of these days?
One of these days. Yeah. Max Kellerman keeps telling me he's falling off a cliff.
That was five years ago.
Has he fallen off that cliff yet?
He's not going to do it this year.
Yeah, Max keeps beating that drum,
right,
doesn't
really?
He?
He's going to be 45, Bergman. You don't think one of these...
It doesn't matter. Like, look what's in this division. The Saints, Falcons, and Panthers? I mean, are any of those teams going to be that good? Maybe the Saints?
They play those guys 8 times, right?
Well,
twice?
6 times. They play them each twice.
Right, six times each, 2 times.
So you figure that's 5-1 at worst?
I know the Rams. I know we play them. I know the Rams have got Tampa Bay on the schedule. Tampa Bay. But here's another weird one. Okay, so Vegas right now, there is a prop bet, I guess. Team most likely to be the last undefeated team in the NFL.
Okay, let me take a guess at this.
Okay.
I don't think it's the Rams, and I don't think it's Buffalo because they both have to play each other in week one.
Yes.
What about the Chargers?
I think it's either Green Bay or Baltimore.
The Ravens?
Green Bay.
Not with that defense.
10-1, sixth best pick. What was your other one?
Baltimore.
Nah.
16-1, 12th best pick.
Huh.
Michael, what did you say again?
Kansas City?
Yeah, but the Chiefs.
No, not Kansas City.
I said the Chargers.
Chargers?
They say the Chargers are the team that is most likely to be the last.
They must have it. They must have an easy schedule
in the regular season. You know, I pulled up their schedule. They're 5-1, by the way. Tampa Bay is the second pick at 6-1. Buffalo is third at 13-2. Rams down at 14-1. Rams have just a beast of a schedule. Could start the season for all intents and purposes with a loss. So, here's the Chargers schedule. Tell me if they're going to run this table. They are. It's Raiders opening week.
Well, so that's a loss right there
in Vegas.
Or here.
It doesn't matter because all the Raider fans are going to be in SoFi anyway.
Right.
Even if they're here.
It'll be a Raider home game no matter where they play.
Yeah. Chargers at Chiefs.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. I don't think they're not winning that game.
Wouldn't think.
In Kansas City?
Chargers home to the Jaguars, at the Texans, at the Browns. I think that's the
3-0.
That's the part that gets them. And then Broncos at Chargers.
Oh, that's 4-0. Keep going.
You're not high on the Broncos.
Not at all.
I think the Broncos are going to be pretty good. They got a good defense, and I think Russell Wilson's a great quarterback.
Not at the Chargers. So okay, that's 4-0. Who they play?
At the Browns. Home Broncos at home. Seattle at home.
Okay, 5-0.
At Atlanta.
6-0.
Yeah.
At the 49ers.
Ooh. I would pick them to lose, but they might be favored.
And then the Chiefs again this time. At
SoFi. They just have an easy first 6-7 games.
Yeah, I mean, actually, the first couple are tough, and then it gets really easy. Because they go, if you look at their schedule, they go Raiders, pretty tough, Chiefs, Jaguars gets easy, Texans gets easy, Browns gets easy, Broncos you think gets easy, Seattle gets easy, Atlanta gets it. Yeah, they've looked at these schedules.
Yeah.
I can see it. If they can beat the Chiefs in week two, they might be the last standing team. Do you think we're going to get any Chargers on the show this year?
Do you want them?
They'll come on when you're not here.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Well, because he's heard your opinion of them.
Yeah, I just don't think – I totally like Justin Herbert. Yeah. I think he's a great quarterback. Wouldn't mind if he was my fantasy quarterback.
Yeah.
They're that upset. They're that sensitive just because Mason makes fun of him.
Well, yeah, because Mason hangs up on anybody who brings up the Chargers.
Although it's mostly the Clippers.
Or the Clippers.
The Clippers I hang up on.
Yeah. Should be the Chargers, though.
No, Chargers are nice enough.
Yeah.
I think
they're like the Rams' little brother.
They are.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Coming up next for you, I've got Kelly Olynyk with the weirdest wedding look I've ever
seen. Is it his wedding?
It is his wedding.
He's Canadian. Okay. What do you expect?
And I want you guys to think about this. Yesterday was actually National Book Lovers Day. Recommend one book.
Okay.
Recommend one book. Michael, you have those, right?
Michael reads newspapers primarily.
Pop-up book?
I think I read one book in my life.
Get out of here.
Jaws.
True. We'll do that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That app is so easy that mom and not stepdad Leo can use it.
And I do still hate the BAM. It just, every time.
BAM!
It gets me. Yeah, thanks a lot.
BAM!
Yeah, just too much.
It's a little. Boy, I'll tell you what, Duran Duran still sounds good. Do you think you could release a Duran Duran record today and it would be a hit all over again?
Yeah, but they were kind of like a comet. Like, I remember I went to a concert once, and it was a Phil Collins concert.
Okay.
And Duran Duran opened for him. And you else was on that that bill? Spando Ballet. Remember
I
them?
I just heard that song today. Our housekeeper's coming over, and she loves the soft rock, and we heard
but
true.
Like, right, so it's like Spando Ballet for 4 songs, Duran Duran for 5, and then Phil Collins for a long time.
What's the worst concert you've ever attended?
Worst concert?
The one that makes you kind of go, ooh, I'm a little embarrassed I was there.
Oh, I'm not embarrassed because I like their music, but they these guys are not performers. They just stand there and play the instruments.
Devo?
No movement.
Devo?
No, worse than Devo. the Cars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
Rico,
Rico
Kasich.
Yeah.
They would just stand there.
But they're great, though.
Yeah.
They are great.
Yeah. Just what I needed. And they don't, there's no show. No.
Yeah.
You know?
Kasich, so, pride of Bowling Green State University.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the worst one I ever went to was, it was the Thompson Twins.
What? I love those guys.
Opening for Howard Jones, who was a thing then. Into Rick Astley.
What's wrong with the Thompson
Twins? Into Rick Astley.
Into Rick Astley.
Never going to give you up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a weasel. But the other two are cool.
He's a weasel.
Why is he a weasel?
What made him a weasel?
That stupid song and that stupid dance. Yeah, Thompson Twins.
The Thompson Twins.
They're like Depeche Mode, man.
How many members of the Thompson Twins?
Well, let's see. Four.
Three. You were close.
Yeah. And they're called the Twins?
Yes.
Why wouldn't they be called the Thompson Trio?
There used to be six of them, and they were called the Thompson Twins. Now there are three of them. I assume. Well, it's been 20 years.
If you had a band, what would your band of your name be, Mace?
Mm.
You ever thought of that? Never thought
never
of that?
Never thought of that.
If you had a rock band, what would your name be?
Rock band.
Ireland, what would yours be?
I've never. I didn't. Give me some time.
Jorge, what would yours be?
Hip, hip, Jorge.
I like that.
Hip, Jorge.
Hip, hip, Jorge. I like that.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah, Bergman, what would yours be?
Yeah, I have no idea. I just saw the corporate. I've got nothing.
Okay,
yeah,
this is a good name for a band, and would it be a good name if I was the lead singer of the band. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The Drunken Shamrocks.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah, yeah. That's good.
I actually like Bergman. The CGs. It's
the CGs?
Like the BGs, only it's the CGs.
Yes.
Well, look this up, Greg. Yes. Dave Grohl had a BGs tribute band.
Really?
Yeah. And they went on tour, and all they did was play Bee Gees songs. But I can't remember the name.
The DGs.
Okay, and it was Dave Grohl as the lead singer.
Now, did he have the high voice like, what's the name, Gibb? What's Gibb's?
No,
Robin
I think
Gibb?
They just did the songs.
Robin and Barry Gibb.
Barry Gibb was the lead singer.
I think he's the one surviving
Gibb. Yeah, he's
Gibb
the last
brother.
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have you guys ever seen, if you Google, go on YouTube and you type in Springsteen Brisbane or Springsteen Stayin' Alive. Springsteen was on tour in Australia, and somebody said to him, the Bee Gees grew up 20 minutes from here. He goes, really? Went back to his hotel room, wrote a rock version of Stayin' Alive.
What?
And opened the show with it.
Wow.
And killed
really?
It.
Really? He didn't ruin it?
Yeah. No. Mace, who's the lead guitarist for... Yeah. Okay, so this is Springsteen in Australia, in Brisbane, in 2014. And nobody knew what was happening. And he had a whole, like, orchestra behind him.
Yep.
And everybody in the band gets a solo during this song.
Not bad.
He's not,
wow,
yeah.
That's cool.
That's pretty
good. And he had Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine filling in for Miami Steve because he was doing Sopranos.
Yep.
And he had Jake Clemens, Clarence's son, playing sax.
Oh, nice.
They all do a solo during the song, and he just blows the doors off.
Oh, that's
the place.
Great. Yeah.
So if you're looking for something different and you're a Bee Gees fan, Google Springsteen Stayin' Alive.
By the way, if you're a Bee Gees fan, you should watch that documentary, which is on HBO.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Lindsay saw it. Lindsay loves documentaries, and she
so
saw it and
good.
Said it was great.
They are just amazing. And it's amazing their rise.
Yep.
It's amazing to see how they came up. All right, so yesterday was International Book Lovers Day.
Okay.
So I thought we should each recommend one book that has had an impact on our lives.
All right. So I went back and looked at the books that I've read over the past couple of years. This was a very interesting book. It's not for everybody. I read Super Pumped, The Battle for Uber.
Yeah, right.
If you want to find out how
Story
they started
Travis
Uber.
Kalanick and
the book
guys.
I just wrapped up now is Hollywood Ending. It's how they finally got Harvey Weinstein and how he got away with it, which is really good news. But I think if I was going to recommend a book for people to read, and it's long, it's 1,200 pages, is read Tinderbox, The History of HBO and How It Started and what's happened to it now. You know, and now it's going through a ton of changes. But
yeah,
that's
right.
That's James Andrew Miller, the same guy who wrote the book on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the book on Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
Really, really good. So
how
be
do
one
you
of
find
those
time
ones.
To read all the stuff? Because you watch everything on TV. You play golf all day. How do you find time to read?
What have you noticed about me all these years traveling?
You don't sleep.
Right.
Yep.
There's your answer.
Jeez. All right, Michael, do you have one book you can recommend?
What is the one book you think you read? Jaws is the one book.
1975.
I will say this. Although Although Michael doesn't read books, he is very well read. Michael brings more reading material on the plane than anyone I know. One of the reasons why Michael doesn't like people sitting next to him is because that's where he keeps his stacks and stacks of newspapers.
And the iPad has ruined me because instead of reading, I just keep up on all the current and science stuff. So I'm into more of that kind of stuff than reading books.
Jorge, one book.
The one that changed me was The Alchemist, obviously. But the last one I read was it was called Stealing Home by Eric Nussbaum. And that's basically the story of how they brought L.A., the Dodgers, here to
and the and from the people Brooklyn. That were displaced
exactly
that was me
when the Dodgers moved
that's
here
book.
A good one. Bergman,
it's a book called Dark Matter. It's by Blake Crouch, and it's about a guy who kind of is like a physics professor that's very kind of just moving along life, not really too much going on, and he gets hit on the head one day and gets taken into a different world. And so he has to find his way back from the world and goes to a whole bunch of different timelines. He has to find his way back to his wife and to the original.
That reminds me of Kelly Bundy on Married with Children. She got a bump on the head. She turned into a genius.
Yeah, no, a lot of people.
that was like one of the greatest episodes ever.
A lot of people bring up Married with Children when talking about that book.
Well, that's what kind of reminds me of it.
Well, did you guys, have you guys ever read any of Chuck Klosterman's books?
Yeah, he writes, I don't think I've
he
ever
has a
read
book
one.
Called Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs, which is really interesting. And one of the chapters is, he says you can tell if somebody is a Laker or a Celtic fan within 1 hour of meeting them. And his theory is, if they care about their appearance, if they're wearing a collared shirt, if they have nice sunglasses, Laker fan.
Yes.
If they are wearing a T-shirt and a hard hat, and spilled beer all over the place.
Yep.
Celtic fan.
Yep. Right.
Yeah, and he goes into all these different things about their personality. If they're laid back and they really don't put up much of a fight, Laker fan. If they make a big deal out of somebody screwing up their order at McDonald's, Celtics fan. And so if you're looking for, if you're into the Lakers-Celtics rivalry, go back and read that book by Chuck.
So Jorge and I are both on Paulo Coelho, The Alchemist, which is
Phil Jackson's favorite book.
One of the great books ever written. But I'll throw this out, and this one helps me with my my dogs all the time. I've got an elderly dog and a dog with congestive heart failure, and there's a book called Art of Racing in the Rain.
Yeah, good book, bad movie, right?
Bad movie.
Yeah.
Bad movie. Actually starred my neighbor, Milo. But, great book. Art of Racing in the Rain, fantastic.
What's it about?
It's about the lifespan of a dog and where they may go when it's all over.
Go?
Yeah, when they may go.
They don't have a soul.
I don't know that. Do you think dogs don't have a soul?
You think there's a dog heaven?
Yeah.
Why would you think a dog doesn't have a soul?
Yeah, why would you think a dog doesn't have a soul?
Well, how would you know?
It's only humans have souls.
Well, there's no evidence that humans have souls either. What's the evidence that humans have?
My wine was stolen.
It's the Bible.
That's right.
The Bible.
What do you think them ghosts are?
Do dogs
have a dog ghost?
A soul? That's a really interesting question. Do dogs?
So, I was talking to Phil Jackson one day about books, and he said... He said, well, you should read Zen Body, Zen Mind. He goes, that'll teach you to live in the moment. He goes, if you want a couple other books about that, he goes, read The Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
That's a fantastic book.
And I went, I don't like motorcycles. He goes,
no,
doesn't
it has
matter.
Nothing to do with motorcycles.
So explain to me why.
Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance
is a fantastic
book. Yeah, so
explain to me why I would like that book.
Because it is about, as I remember this book, it's about a kid going to college, has an accident, ends up hanging around with this guy at a gas station who teaches him the lessons of life. The lessons of life.
It's not like how do I change a clutch on a Harley?
No, it just happens to
have
be.
Have you read this book, Jorge?
I have not, but that sounds interesting.
Now. Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance is a classic.
And the other one he said, and this book's like 20 years old now, he said there's a book called The Inner Game of Tennis, the mental aspects of tennis. He said that will help you be more zen.
So, Michael, this is the best we know about dogs and souls.
Okay.
Dogs do have souls. The word animal itself is derived from the Latin word anima, meaning soul. Theologians, biologists, psychologists, animal communicators, and pet parents have pondered the spirituality of dogs for thousands of years, and it is clear that the essence of a dog is his loving, healing soul. Don't me.
Me or him.
Don't.
Only humans have souls.
Over there.
Come on.
All right.
Did you ever, Michael, did you ever have a dog? I know you take care of Rocco. Did you have a dog growing up?
Yeah, we had a German Shepherd in the Bahamas growing up. Dusty was his name.
Dusty the German Shepherd.
And he was an outside dog. We didn't let him in the house.
Bergman says break because he's got a great Bobcat. So we'll do Bobcat coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. CG!
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. And thank you, Mason, for the CG. All right, so Kawhi Leonard showed up to the Padres game the other night in full Padres gear.
What?
He's from down there.
He's from San Diego.
I thought he was from Riverside or something.
But he went to San Diego State.
So I totally get it. Do you think, though, that with the Dodgers-Padres supposedly being a rivalry and him already on a secondary L.A. team, that this is a bad look for him?
He doesn't care.
Well, it doesn't matter if he cares.
I've told this story many times, but since Michael here, I'll tell it again. Kawhi Leonard is the only person I've ever met in life that I had a whole conversation with, and he never said a word. Here's what happened. Michael and I are sitting courtside in San Antonio. Kawhi's playing for the Spurs. Kawhi walks over to the table and sticks his hand out to Michael.
Right.
And Michael says, "Hey, Kawhi, good to see you, man. I'm proud of you. You're doing great. Clay asked me about you the other day. Say hi to your family for me." He goes, "You know Ireland?" I go, "Hey, Kawhi." I stand up. I shake hands with him. I go,
"Right.
Big fan. Nice to meet you." Nods. Nods at Michael, goes back and starts shooting. Do you remember that?
Really? I sure do. It's like Marcel Marceau.
And he goes, Michael, he walks over, Michael goes, "Great kid."
White horse.
I go, "How would you know?"
Why did the mushroom go to the party? Because he's a fun guy.
Hey! I like see.
So I don't think Greg Kawhi cares if he gets booed if on the Jumbotron at Dodger Stadium or anything else.
I'm not asking how he feels.
So you're saying, does it hurt his L.A. cred?
Yeah.
He has no L.A. cred. He plays for the Clippers. Cred is not his thing. I don't think it hurts him at all that he went to a Padres game. Don't we have some
wearing Padres gear?
Do we have actual Padres? Like, is Cappy a Padres fan?
I mean, kind of.
I don't think he'll admit it now that he's on in L.A., but I think that's his team.
Is Sliwa kind of a Padres fan?
Yeah, Sliwa grew up a Padre fan.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he has no L.A. cred, so I'm not worried about it. Take it away. Bobcat.
My button was down.
Bobcat.
All right.
Bobcat.
Pull it up.
Thank you. Let's do it again. So my Fitbit broke, and I need a new watch. I'm thinking about an Apple Watch, but kind of also really like the old school, just regular watches. Which do you prefer, and which is more bang for your buck since they are all
Bergman,
basically the same expensive?
I'm going to tell you something. Okay. Michael, hold up your wrists.
Oh, you're not wearing a watch. Oh, he's got a watch on.
Michael has a watch on. I don't know anybody who wears a watch regularly.
Do
you wear it every day, Michael?
Every day. I sleep in it, too.
Yeah, I have an Apple Watch. I like my Apple Watch a lot. I'm not wearing it today because I'm not tracking steps or anything. But it's good for tracking steps and stuff like that. And when you're on the elliptical or on the bike and you're riding, it'll tell you when you've reached a certain heart rate level, all that kind of stuff. So I do like the Apple thing.
I will say this, Greg. If you're going to invest in a watch, I think it should be with something that does more than just tell time.
Why?
In other words, if you're going to get an Apple Watch, that makes sense to me.
That makes
sense. But if you're just getting something that tells time, Michael, you always have your phone with you.
Yeah, but every time if you're laying in bed and you want to know what time it is, you got to always reach for your phone instead of just turning your wrist over. Right, Jorge?
Yeah. Wait, you sleep in the water. You never take it off?
Never take it off.
What about when you shower?
It's waterproof, and I take it off when I shower.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I can't sleep in my phone because it needs to be charged. But,
right.
But I do like it.
Look, too? Like, I mean, wearing a watch is part of, like, it's a whole look.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you know, look at me.
Yeah.
Look at this. Get a load of this.
You know, I always got to know what time it is, Ireland, don't you?
Do you have I know what time it is. It's 2:51.
Yeah, but you always got to look for your phone when you want to know.
Do you
the
have
time.
A Rolex? Do you own one?
No, I used to have the most expensive watch I ever bought was $12,000. I felt guilty, so I resold it for $8,000.
Yeah, I would do the same thing. I think a watch, I don't have an expensive watch or expensive sunglasses because I'd be afraid I'd lose them.
Mm. Right.
But a lot of people have, like, Rolexes, Greg, some of them are $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, I get all my sunglasses, by the way. This is a little tip for you. All my sunglasses from Rite Aid. Have you been there? Rite Aid?
Yeah.
They've got a little thing you spin around.
You should do what you do with Amazon.
Amazon.
You should call it Retard.
Retard. That's where I go for my sunglasses. Exactly.
Bobcat.
All right, Jorge, what you got?
Okay, so film director Peter Jackson says he seriously considered hypnotherapy to forget ever working on Lord of the Rings. The reason he decided to do that is because he never got to see the films as a fan.
Exactly. Yeah.
So is there something that you guys would want to forget and go through hypnotherapy?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. What would you
put? Well, yeah, you 1990 yeah. NBA Finals,
two,
right?
Two finals I lost, and Clay's finals I lost in 16. Just haunts me. Can't get them out of my mind. Just bugs me.
Lakers-Celtics 1984 NBA Finals.
Okay.
Lakers were so much better than the Celtics that year, and then and Boston won it in seven games. I want that completely gone from my memory.
Just haunt you to lose.
2017 World Series. Screw the Astros. I would like to have that blocked from my memory forever. By the way, Carlos Correa there last night getting a warm reception from the Dodger Stadium.
Also, crowd. Mason and I's entire foray into internet radio in the 90s. Mace, we struck too early is what we did. Yeah.
Anything for you, Jorge?
No, you took mine. There's 17.
Bergman, how about you?
1998, UCLA, Miami.
Yeah, 51-45.
You say win the national championship.
I thought you were going to say your entire first marriage before Riley was born.
I mean, Riley came out of that, so I have to be okay.
So something good came out of
it. Yeah. I only
you get to keep Riley, but
yes.
You forget everything that came out of that first marriage.
Oh, God, that sounds wonderful.
What's wrong with her?
Bobcat.
With Bergman's ex-wife? How long you got?
Bobcat. You really want me to go through all of that?
Bobcat.
Let's go to the next one.
Some of it could have been your fault, Bergman.
I'm sure a lot of it was my fault. Sorry, let's do a kick it off the plan since we don't have a ton of time left here.
Okay.
And this one is directly pointed at you, Michael Thompson.
All right. All right, so you have – here's how this works. You have to get rid of one of these two things.
Okay.
And the other thing stays, but the thing you get rid of never existed and never comes back.
All right.
Okay, go ahead, Greg.
All right. All in the Family or Sanford and Son?
Oh! Come on, that's not fair.
No, it is. Well,
next
that's
one.
The whole point.
No, that's why it's hard. One day he did ketchup or mustard. Oh. I know which one of those you'd get
mustard,
rid of.
Yeah. I love both. All in the Family or Sanford and Son?
Yeah, one of them never existed.
It's like choosing your children. I can't.
You have to. It's the game.
That's the game. I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
Michael sends me clips from both shows regularly because he, not surprisingly, still watches both.
Wow.
I laugh harder at the Sanford and Son.
Yeah,
clips.
Especially when Aunt Esther's on.
Yeah.
But I guess Sanford and Son because All in the Family was so
landmark.
Yeah, controversial because it touched on every subject.
Yep.
And it made it funny, but yet very controversial. So I guess Sanford and Son. Oh, that hurt.
I'm doing the same. All in the Family is just an historic, seminal show in the history of television.
Ahead of its time.
Ahead of its time.
All right, Mace, what if I said to you, Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
You'd get rid of it or keep it?
Get rid of it.
Okay.
Yeah, get rid of it. The ending was terrible.
What would you do? Get rid of it?
Yeah, I think Breaking Bad is...
Breaking Bad's my favorite show of all time.
I think Breaking Bad is the best acting performance I've ever seen out of a lead actor.
Why are you trying to steal my Kick It Off the Planets? I could have used that tomorrow.
Come up with something else over there, genius.
Yeah, like Sopranos and something else and Seinfeld and something.
We've done that.
Go.
There you go.
There it is.
The hardest one for me, Greg, would be the equivalent of what you just asked Michael to be, because I couldn't get rid
West
of either
Wing
one of them.
Or...
West Wing or Curb Your Enthusiasm. I couldn't get rid of either one.
You would have to.
Choose one, Ireland.
I'd get rid of Curb, but it would
really?
Kill me. Because I would still have Seinfeld, which was like Curb before it was good. You know, but it Curb is Seinfeld on steroids.
Larry doing another series? Another series?
Says he is.
Oh, good.
Yep. No, they're shooting.
Good.
Yeah, they're shooting.
They need to do more than 10, by the way. Do 20.
Larry doesn't want to work that hard. Do you know how much money Larry David has? Larry David has so much money. He doesn't have to be working on a TV show. He does it because he loves it. When he feels like it, he does it.
Okay. You have one of the Kamenetskys filling for him.
Sure.
So
sure.
Here's a plot for an upcoming Curb. He has to have Leon do something that makes Susie mad.
Ooh.
And have Susie go off on Leon.
Is that a real episode?
No. I'm making it up.
Oh, yeah.
How funny would that be?
That would be funny. Yeah.
Susie's the best.
By the way, okay. I do these occasionally. This is my unsolicited advertisement for the Venice Mace podcast, Culture Pop. Go back. And it was a long time ago, Mates. This would be probably in the first 50 you did.
Yes.
You had Susie Essman on.
Yep.
And she tells a story about how when Larry first hired her, she let Jeff have it And he goes, I need you to double the vitriol, double the hate. You're not being mean. She goes, well, what do you want me to do? Call him a fat F word? Right. He goes, yes.
Yep.
And she goes, well, wouldn't that hurt his feelings? And Larry said, yes. And so the next, the script said was, Susie is furious at Jeff and is losing her mind. She says, Jeff, you fat F! Yeah. Where's the doll's head?
That's the greatest
Give me
one.
The doll's head!
The doll's head.
I want
Classic.
The effing doll's head! And she goes, how was that?
Yeah.
And he goes, can you do that every week?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
I know.
All right, coming up next for you. Interesting. I have a wardrobe question. You guys can probably help me. Yeah, a wardrobe question.
You wear the same clothes every day.
Plus, Matt Ryan at, where is it? Indy practice
yep.
now. I got a little mic'd up with Matt Ryan. That's coming out next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.